I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Unconventional Soldier, a military podcast brought to you by two British Army veterans in association with ISAR.com.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Unconventional Soldier podcast with me, Colin Ferguson.
And me, Kev O'Keefe. A huge thank you to Nick Beale, the founder and director of ISAR, who kindly offered to provide the technology and support for the podcasts. Nick is also an X473 Battery veteran, and his company delivers bespoke risk, resilience and security management solutions. There's a link on our Facebook page to his company, ISAR.com.
The podcast is mainly about 473 Special OP Battery, which is the Army's Surveillance and Target Acquisition Patrols Unit and was formed in 1982. We'll cover its formation, its training selection, its deployed operations and the reserve unit, the Honourable Artillery Company, the HAC.
As well as the battery episodes, we aim to discuss with guests as wide a range of topics as possible, such as life outside the army, overcoming adversity, working in the public and the private sector, and hopefully you'll participate in sending ideas for future episodes and be one of our guests. We already have a number of you who have said yes to joining us, and further updates will follow.
Finally, we'll inject a bit of culture when we review and recommend some of our favourite books and films, and each time a guest comes on, they'll do the same. So we're going to take a short break now, and when we get back, we'll give an overview of how we got involved in STA patrols. Welcome back to the Unconventional Soldier podcast. This is the bit where you get to find out about me and Kev a little bit. So I joined the army in June 1985. I was 20 years old and I went to Woolwich. I did my basic signals course there. And on completion of training, you had three posting preferences. And I asked for gun regiments. And of course, they sent me to Dortmund in West Germany to an air defence regiment. And I was working on their regimental command post. After about 18 months, I was getting quite bored. There was not a lot of travel and wasn't really enjoying it. So I went to the battery office to see about a posting, and the BSM overheard me and took me into his office and said, have you considered the special OPs? Back then, there was not a lot of information out there about special OPs. So the BSM gave me a good breakdown, basically 7 to 10 days initial selection and then a 16-week course after that.
Was the course then ran in Dortmund at that time still?
Yeah, it was running 5 regiment just up the road from 12 regiments, so I didn't have far to go.
So, I mean, you're probably lucky to me then, because I couldn't find nothing, because I was serving in the UK at the time. And so commander course and para course and all that sort of stuff, there's tons of information. But for the special OP sort of side or the special observer course, absolutely nothing. There was just the one pager that you find for volunteering for stuff, but nobody had any idea. No one I'd known had applied or attempted to go for it.
So how did you hear about it?
It was just by chance. There was a roadshow going round in the UK. Special OP Troop, which is one of the few times they've ever done it.
I didn't even realise they did that.
Yeah, I think it was rarity. I think it was their chance to educate the UKLF, as it was then, the UK Land Forces side. Because if you're not in BAOR, you don't get to hear any of that information. And so that's how I found out about it and then applied. And all I knew was, turn up on this date. I had to have a week selection course. It was pass or fail. And if I passed, I was then accepted onto continuation training to like phase one and then phase two, but was told at any time I could be RTU'd if I failed a particular phase.
Yeah, it's strange because in Dortmund, the troop was known, but it was more legend and speculation.
Yeah.
So getting the hard facts was quite difficult, and that's why BSM was pretty good. I mean, he's a good guy. I owe him a lot because he took me out map reading to improve my map reading skills. He gave me time off to go training. So but I owe a lot to that guy for A, pointing me in the right direction, and B, giving me time off to train and get ready for it.
Yeah, I think that was the advantage of, one, being in BAOR at the time, and two, being in Dortmund, where there was a host of, obviously, gunner regiments, and you got 3, 2, and 5 troop at the same time. So they would have been known a little bit more. But for me, in the UK, nothing at all. It wasn't even on the radar. They steered you towards the commando course and the 7 RHA.
So what made you go for it rather than 2.9 or 7th?
I think it was because I didn't know much about it and the concept was still stay behind. And so that sounded quite different. And because you don't know much, you don't know what you're walking into. And the way the course is structured, you didn't know much until you got further into the course.
I think for me, when you turn up there, even though it's quite daunting, you're treated like an adult from day one. And for me, just being in the army 18 months, you know, you were given, even on the selection course, you were given quite a lot of responsibility. You're just assumed to have some skills, which worked against some people. Because the BSM had given me a bit of a heads up about things. I mean, for example, I turned up and all the maps had been, when they dished out the maps, I had a load of Fablon with me, so I Fabloned all my maps because that was, you know, the BSM gave that sort of heads up.
I think it's quite weird because they're asking, even on the selection course, they're asking for a lot of infantry skills from regimental gunners who don't get to usually do those sort of skill sets. I mean, I was fortunate because I did 2 trips out to Hong Kong where I was part of an OP party out in Hong Kong, and I ended up running my OP party because the foo was injured during that phase with the Gurkhas. I'd been a foo or part of an OP party in Belize as well. So I trained as a gun number, but I became an OPAC quite quickly as well. So I'd worked in those sort of small team environments, which were really, really good. Jungle's brilliant for small team tactics. And regardless of cap badge, you have to become a bit more than a basic infantier to survive in the jungle.
And so in a lot of respects then, you must have had quite a bit, would you say you had a bit of an advantage over others because you'd been used to, you'd been in the jungle, you'd been to Hong Kong, you'd been on OP parties. Did you find that gave you a good grounding when you went on the main selection course?
I think it helped a little bit because you understood small team tactics better. Because even inside a company group as a OPAC or foo party, you're still a little bit independent and you're still expected to, especially in those environments, you're expected to operate on your own a lot more. And I did my tour in Northern Ireland as well as a team leader. And again, that reinforces small team tactics. So I felt that the grounding that the UKLF part provided was probably better than when I did serve, because I was in 4 or 5 for a while. It was a better grounding.
So how many years did you do before you went on selection?
Well, I joined the army 21st of September 1982 to Junior Leader Regiment Royal Artillery.
And you went to, what, the troop in, what, 89?
Yeah, so in November 83, I joined 4-5 as a gun number, went straight to exercise, went to Canada shortly after that, Then we got arms plotted from Hona back to Colchester. As soon as we got back, I went to Hong Kong twice on Fiery Orient. From there, we trained up and went to Belize because our regiment was split between the Belize tours and supporting Norway as well. So one of the batteries did Norway. Come back in 86, end of 86 from Belize. And then we got told that we were going to Northern Ireland in 88. So we started preparing for that as well. And interspersed with UK exercises.
Because you're in Londonderry just before us, weren't we?
Yeah. Two tours, I think, before you.
Yeah, because we went. And actually, that's going to be a future podcast with JD Hogg, who's out there, injured in contact. And we'll have him on as a guest in the future.
Well, there was no Gunners. When I got over to Northern Ireland, we were based in Armagh, and that's when they decided they were switching the company group from Armagh and supporting the UDR. We then got switched over to Londonderry, which became the Gunners then after us. The next Gunner unit did exactly the same, and then you did the same as well. So we reinforced the companies out there. So each of us was broken down to a platoon, and one platoon would be attached to the infantry company as they rulemented through the city.
So your military CV made mine look... I had basically one line, went to training, posted to Dortmund, and went to Denmark on an exercise where you had Belize. I feel quite inadequate now, mate. I think I should have done a bit more preparation before I went on there.
Yeah, I mean, Belize was definitely the bit because...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You've got to learn small team tactics. Even the gun numbers had to learn small team tactics because they'd use them. They'd fly a gun on its own to the middle of nowhere to support a company group. But the OP parties were out all the time with the infantry, and there was still patrols going on as well along the Guatemalan border, which was quite. It made it feel a bit more real. But yeah, the small team tactics was definitely a jungle thing, and your admin has to be better. Even, and the equipment's quite basic, but you've got to work harder at it as well. You can't get away with it, and you're not relying on vehicles or any of that sort of stuff. When I was in BAOR, I worked on 109s, and on the 109, everything's under the cabinet as a gun number, and it's all about the gun position, and there was very little independent tactics as such.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody go, I didn't have that experience you had, but when I went there, a couple of things struck me. Was just that when the DS turned up, they looked like someone from another planet. All the gear was functional. The belt kit was what they wanted. For example, back in those days, you had 58 pattern webbing, which is absolutely useless. All the DS had M16 pouches, water bottle pouches of all types and descriptions. Not just to look the part. It wasn't about that. It was all about functionality. And I remember after you passed the initial 7 to 10 day selection, first phase, we were taking up the bar and the DS bought us beers. And that was a big thing as well, the fact that you're having a beer with them after that, before you get taken onto the second phase. So when you first turned up, do you have any outstanding memories like that that sort of stuck with you thinking, no, I'm heading to the right place here?
No, because I think I turned up on the Friday before it started. We were going to be... starting on the Monday. So all we were told was, this is accommodation. Sort your kit out. This is the kit list you're going to need. Turn up on Monday morning, early o'clock. You go to the armoury, get your weapon, do your BFT. And then you're straight onto the back of the Bedford, straight onto the ground, and then just get, you know, beasted for a week, basically, just to physically and mentally beast you until it worked out if they wanted you or not, if you got the, if you were trainable. And it was, you know, in those days, it was select out, not selecting. You know, yeah. It was definitely that sort of model.
Interestingly, on, I can't remember which podcast episode it is, but we've got Dave Jones on and Ian Strachan. So David Jones was one of the first troop commanders, and he's going to give us sight on a couple of the early training programs. So it'll be interesting to see what the early selections, you know, were about. And also Ian's going to talk about turning up on course one. So hopefully that gives everybody a bit of a flavour about what me and Kev, why we ended up in 473. Quite different aspects from air defence and guns. So the last thing we'll do with the guest when he comes on is we're going to do a little thing called Desert Island Dits. We're going to ask them to recommend a book, a film, and a luxury item. So I'm going to start off with my book, and it's a bit of a cheat because the book's out of print now, but it was recently covered on Al Murray's podcast, We Have Ways of Making You Get Talk, and you can go on there and download it. It became that popular on that podcast that copies of the book that are out of print are going like for £300-400 now. So if you've got one of these in your bookshelf, you're going to be laughing. And the book is The Cauldron by Zeno, and it's a fictional account of a Pathfinder company at Arnhem. It's absolutely a really good read, and the author's got a real checkered past as well, because after the war, when he got out, he was convicted of murdering a lover of his wife or girlfriend, I can't remember which. In the end, he got him banged up in Wormwood Scrubs for 15 years. So I'll post the links for Al Murray's podcast at the end of this one. It's a great book for listening to when you're out running or driving to work. Kev, what book are you looking at?
Well, my one was Quartered Safe Out Here by George MacDonald Fraser, who gives us his experiences during the Second World War fighting the Japanese out in the Far East. And it's a little bit about, you know, it's a bit wider than that, because obviously the 14th Army was always felt like they were the forgotten army. They weren't part of the European campaign or the African campaign. And the Japanese campaign, as brutal as it was, they felt they're out there a little bit more on their own. But it's a great story from a man who was there from the sharp end. It's really well written. It brings it home to you how difficult it was in that campaign.
And George MacDonald Fraser wrote all the Flashman books, didn't he?
Well, I don't read them sort of books, but you might do, Colin.
Mr. PC. Yeah, if everybody who's ever read a Flashman book, they'll probably be getting burnt pretty soon because they're not the most politically correct. A good companion piece to that one Kev's just talked about is 18 Platoon by Sidney Geary. Not as well written as Quartered Safe Out Here, because obviously George MacDonald Fraser was a novelist. But again, it's a platoon commander's account of Normandy and the campaign through to Germany in 44-45. It's a really great companion piece for both sides there. So, films. Talking to Kev over the last couple of weeks, I got quite nostalgic about the 1980s. So my film has got to be Platoon by Oliver Stone. It was always on in the block back in the late 80s. You get so many quotable lines. It's about a young guy who's middle class, college educated, feels he has to do the right thing, and volunteers to go to Vietnam when most people from his background were dodging to get out of it. And when he gets over there, he finds he's serving with all the sort of the less educated white kids, trailer trash, if you like, and also all the black kids that were sent out there. And he's torn between two sergeants, Elias and Barnes. But yeah, most people have probably seen it, but I watched it a couple of months ago and it still stands up. So Platoon for me. Kev, what would you pick?
Mine is 1957, Paths of Glory, a World War I film with Kurt Douglas in the starring role. I really like it. It's an anti-war film in some ways, but it's also a dig at the hierarchy of the time, the generals sitting at the back fighting the war with the chess pieces, which were the soldiers and some of the decisions. And obviously on this one it was a failed attack, and so the French court-martial decided that the French hierarchy decided that because there was a cowardice streak in that part of the regiment, that they would have to shoot some of the soldiers who didn't take the anthill, which you'll need to see if you watch the film. And Kurt Douglas, as the colonel of the regiment, was defending his soldiers, and why they didn't achieve the objective as it was. But a really good film, even though it's been done in 1957, stands the test of time, and in my view, much better than 1917.
Did you ever see any battle scenes in it? Is it all courtroom drama?
No, it's battle scenes as well. Much better.
I've seen it once, I can't remember what it's like.
Yeah, and some of it is you've got the view down the trench as of walking down the trench, a bit like that shot in 1917. But I think when it was done in 1957, there's no CGI and nothing. It was as good as you get.
Yeah, 1917 really overrated in my eyes. Interestingly, Stanley Kubrick directed Full Metal Jacket, probably one of the top three Vietnam films of the 1980s.
Yeah, and Stanley Kubrick directed Paths of Glory.
There we go. So good stuff. All right, mate. So luxury item. Tea is always important to any soldier, and since I've got out of the army, I quite like a bit of loose leaf Assam tea. So if I was taking a luxury item to a desert island, it'd be some loose leaf Assam tea in a tin, of course, to keep it airtight and fresh. Kev, what would your luxury item be?
A decent hammock with an Aussie poncho.
Oh, that's two items, mate.
Well, they have to go together.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so, them together. That's the way it is.
In the future,
hammock. You get a good night's sleep and you stay dry.
Yeah, let it go, mate. Let it go. Okay, so that's it for episode one. Podcast two will feature the man behind the creation of the battery, Major General Tony Stone, CB. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and links will be published in the show notes. Kev, do you want to say anything before we finish up?
No, just any ideas about episodes, what you'd like to hear from guests, if you've got ideas for guest speakers, please let us know and we'll try and arrange it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.